Good morning. Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of my wife and myself, we'd like to thank Reverend Koh and the session for this kind invitation to be here to share with you from God's Word and to fellowship with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. We'd like to thank all of you also for your prayers and for your care and concern when we were unwell throughout the week as well as throughout the camp. May the Lord continue to bless all of you and richly care for this wonderful church as a banner for the Lord Jesus Christ in this part of Sydney and Australia. This is the only psalm written by Moses. We know that we are living in a very troubled world. Troubles are good for us, because the Lord knows that this world is a world of wicked people and sin. Can you imagine a world without trouble? No earthquake, no storm, no typhoon, perfect climate, perfect earthly environment. And the people are evil and wicked, and they do not need to work, and food will just simply grow out of the ground like it was before the flood. Can you imagine such a world? It will be chaos. The evil and the wickedness would be nightmarish, as it is right now, with all the natural disasters, as the world called them, and with all the troubles and difficulties that we encounter with all the diseases. God slows men down in their evil and their wickedness. Was that not how God chastised Adam and Eve? Do you recall? They were perfect when God created them. And then when they sinned, God says, now there will be trouble in the home, because now there is sin in husband and wife. And then when the children are born, they're going to be born in sin. And therefore the trouble are meant to drive them to God in Christ. That's why troubles are good. We cannot avoid trouble. We must not try to live a life without trouble. It's an impossibility today. One day when we are in a new heaven and new earth, the outward environment will be perfect without trouble. And then when we are in perfection in Christ, holy, good, and perfect, 100%. Inward man and the outward man are now one and the same. Perfect holiness, goodness, kindness. And then with a perfect environment, that's when we will live in a trouble-free world, literally. But until that day comes, we as God's children should never seek a life without trouble. It's an impossibility. You're going to be very disappointed. You're going to go crazy. You're going to be depressed because you're not going to succeed. But what we need to do is to avoid the troubles that are because of our sinful ways. Those kind of troubles we must avoid. But there are other troubles that are not of your doing, but they just come, as what you see in Psalm 90. Psalm 91, the word for trouble, found in verse 15, means to be boxed in, where there is persecution, when someone comes after you and use words or action to corner you, where you have no choice but to look up. The manner in which King Saul drove David from a cave to a foreign land to find safety, boxed him in. Everywhere he went, he encountered trouble. But the word for trouble in Psalm 90 in verse 7 is very different. It describes the inward trembling of the heart, general, a troubled world. We came into this world crying. Every baby born to this world cries. And then there will be days and days and days of tears throughout our lives. It is a life of sorrow. That's why we have people who are comedians. They try to make a living cracking jokes. Do you know of a comedian whose task is to make you cry? tell you all kinds of sad and sob stories. Maybe you won't call him a comedian. You don't find one. But to make millions of dollars, making fool of themselves, cracking jokes, making people laugh. Because when they are laughing, their sorrows and the troubled world seem to be in the background. They don't think about them. They just laugh. And they say laughter is good for the health. But once the laughter stops, all the problems and the troubles will flood back in. And that's the reality. And then they go to these comedians again, and then have that brief moment of half an hour or so of relief, like a drug. Is that how you solve troubles too? Denial? Have some kind of fun and game and barbecue and sports? Thinking that by doing all these things, my trouble will simply just go away. They won't go away simply because we don't think about them. Moses is an expert in trouble. So when he shared with us this psalm about a troubled life and how to overcome a troubled life, there is no one better than him, literally, in the past and in the present. His congregation was more than 2 million. It lasted 40 years long, his ministry. He encountered the mighty army of Pharaoh at the onset of his ministry. And then he had to participate or at least witness the burial of more than 600,000 of his Israelites. The murmuring, the complaining, the provision of water and food for 2 million over people. And then to see one generation passed away and to see a new generation born in the wilderness, grow up to become young men and young women. They never experienced life in Egypt as slaves. He literally had witnessed and cared for 2 million over people as a pastor. And so when you read about what he has shared with us in this particular psalm, read it from that perspective. He meant every word because he experienced every word. And so in this prayer of Moses, he wants us to learn from him how he overcame a very, very troubled life full of ministry and serving the Lord. Your life and my life, wherever we are serving the Lord. For us who are in the full-time ministry, we serve the Lord primarily in the church. Doesn't mean that we do not have any impact in the world out there. We do in one way or another, but not like before. We were called into full-time ministry. We still have our relatives who are unbelievers. We may still keep in touch with our friends who are unbelievers, but by and large, that door of ministry closed when the Lord called us into the full-time ministry. But when the Lord gives you a school to study in, health and strength, time on earth, or a place to work, do not see it as any different from us who are in the full-time ministry. We are both serving the Lord. Your calling is different, that's all. And therefore, see the trouble that you encounter out there similar to what Moses is sharing with us this morning from Psalm 90. First, to answer this question on how to overcome a troubled life, you must ask yourself, are you living with God? That's the key. Are you living with God? Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. The dwelling place means a retreat in all generations. Why did Moses say in all generations? Why didn't he just simply say in his lifetime, in his generation? And the reason is because every generation there were God's people. Every generation, God's people faced troubled life, like you and me. The time may change. The nature of the trouble will change. The size of the trouble will change. Ours is global in nature because of the modern communication. The people in the past, without radio, without newspaper, without all these modern communication, whenever they were in trouble, it was localized within their village, their town, within their region, and that's about it. any news or any trouble that is on the other side of the world, if you are living in Europe, the trouble that is in China, you have absolutely no knowledge unless a merchant who will travel from China will come and give you some news of what is happening in China. He may be bringing some ware, some porcelain or some whatever it is, and that's about it. What is happening there, what kind of battle, what kind of problem between China and Taiwan, all that, you don't bother. They don't bother. They don't even know. But not in our time. In other words, with modern technology, our 21st century is a very, very troubled world because the scope is global in nature. In contrast to past generations, it was localized. However, it doesn't matter because the solution is the same. The Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations because that is the only way. Whether you live in the time of Adam and Eve after the fall, Adam lived 930 years. Or whether you live in today's context, where you live 70 years. The Lord has to be our dwelling place, the one that we run to for retreat. You know what a retreat means? You get yourself out of the world, you leave the presence of the world, and you run to the presence of God. Spend time, your quiet time, the time spent with Him in the stillness of the morning to still your heart, to quieten your spirit and your heart as you begin another day, a day of service, a day of battle, a day of fighting the good fight of faith. And that is true for all generations, no difference. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That has always been God's original intent. Even before creation, God created us in His image, so that you and I can always see God as our only place of safety and retreat. No one else, any and everyone else, they are just simply extra. Once your children come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior, parents, you know you are extra. Your children can now run to the Heavenly Father and call Him Abba. They could not until they were born again. And God used you and given you the honor and privilege to help them come to know Him as Heavenly Father too. And once you have accomplished that, you and your wife, both of you, are extra. God doesn't need you, but He can, if He wants to continue to use you to be the instrument to nurture them further, to help them grow to maturity. But if you are derelict, He can remove you. You could be a stumbling block that can hurt them and ruin their faith. And then the Lord will remove you. Or the Lord can just remove one of you because God says, that is better for your children who are now My children, who can call Me Abba Father, in order for Me to shape and mold them to be the man and woman after My own heart. I need only one parent. It's up to Him. It's up to Him. God has always wanted us to run to Him and say, Thou art My God, My retreat, My refuge. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. And so He allowed trouble to drive us back unto Himself, as mentioned. Can you imagine a house full of idols and without trouble? If they have no trouble, they live in peace and tranquility, why would they want to run to the Savior? Just like no healthy person will see a doctor. You need to be sick to see a doctor. You need to know you're a sinner to see the Savior. It's common sense. That's the way things are. That's the way we are. That's how God has created us. And that is why in an idolatrous home, there should not be any peace. There should be full of trouble. And so when you are the only believer, the first believer, and then you come home and you tell mom and dad, I am now a Christian, trouble will soon follow and you should be prepared for it. And it's a good kind of trouble because now light has just entered your family. Darkness is now being driven out because of you. But once you capitulate, once you compromise, then it will become more difficult. The darkness will be darker. The trouble will be increased manifold. Because if you become a believer and then you come home, you tell mom and dad, I'm now a Christian, And then you persevere for a short while, and then Mount Manna kept on threatening you. If you do not give up Christ, I will cut you off of the multi-million dollar inheritance. I will drive you out of the house. You get out. You don't eat with us. Don't stay with us. Don't sleep with us. And then you want your inheritance. All right, mom, dad, I will give up Christ. Can you imagine? For mammon's sake, you have just ruined what it means to be a Christian. And then when your younger brother becomes a Christian, he now comes home and say the same thing as you did, and then your parents will also use the same rod, same threats. It succeeded with older brother, why not the younger ones? Now the younger one will suffer even more because the parents will now become more and more and more severe in their threats, because it worked the first time, it must work the second time. You see the problem? Troubles are good. You look at yourself. If the troubles are because of our faithlessness and because of our wrongdoing, that is bad. You have to be honest that it must not be of your own making because of your failure and your transgression and your carnality. And even under those circumstances, when God sent those troubles, that is chastisement to stop you from sinning, you repent and you return to the Lord. But if the trouble is because of the world at large, not your fault in any way, don't murmur and complain, because these three verses, the Bible tells us what you are going through as a child of God, saved and left behind. It's common to all generations. It was common to Adam and Eve. It was common to Noah. It was common to Moses, Joshua, Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of them. And it's still common today, because God says, this is how I will strengthen and test the depth of the conviction of my children. This is how my children will know whether they truly have faith or not, whether they truly trust in me or not, so that I can teach them patience and perfect their walk with me. They study God's word. They know my word in their head. Now I need them to know in their heart, experiential knowledge, that they really obey my word, even in the dark moment of adversity. That's why troubles are good. It will help us answer this first question: are you living with God? All generations in the past did. All the truly born again servants of God in the past did. Why should it be different in our generation of the last days? Running to God is the best. Living with God, drawing closer to him, the more troubles come. It helps you to pray even more. This parent came to me. They have three sons. The older two married, well-behaved, live a good life. No trouble to parents. They stand on their own two feet. They could even support mom and dad. But number three was different, single. Not married, could not hold a job, study in this university, parents well off, travel a lot, all over the world, children followed them, a few years in this country, a few years in that country. The two older brothers were able to manage and cope, but the younger ones struggled. No stability. And so emotionally very, very fragile. Study for a few years in this university, could not hold on, went to another one. Parents could afford it, one after another. And so they came to Pandan, talked to him. He's not from Calvary Pandan, from another BP church. Talked to him. I said, after they shared with me their testimony, their struggles, their troubles of the three sons, is number three is the best. They got shock. Do you know why? It's because of him. Both of you are now reconsidering your lifestyle. Flying from country to country, 3 years here, 3 years there, 4 years here, 4 years there. No stability. You can't serve the Lord. You can't worship the Lord properly. And because of him, both of you have never prayed before the way that you are praying right now for the Lord's mercy, right? You don't even know that both of you have been far away from the Lord until this incident. Is it not true? Can you imagine all three of your sons are all very well behaved, married, and living a good life in all over the world? And then both of you continue to travel and enjoy health and strength and fly here, fly there. Both of you are not young. When you die, what do you have to present to the Lord? Pray tell. They kept quiet throughout, nothing to say. Isn't that true? The primary purpose of your life and my life is to run to God and to say like Moses, you are my dwelling place. You are my God. Isn't that true? That's why the question, are you living with God? And if you are, the next question is, how do you live with God? Verses 4 to 12, Moses shared with us how. Now remember the size of his congregation. Every morning he wakes up just like you and me. We wake up every morning. For him, 2 million over people surrounded by wilderness. You know what wilderness is like, right? No trees, no shopping malls. And Australia is far from a wilderness. Maybe in the desert area. It's a wilderness, or that's desert. You know the difference between a desert and a wilderness? I checked the dictionary. A desert is a place like in the Middle East, just rolling hills and hills and hills of sand. The wilderness, there are rocky mountains with a thin layer of sand here and there. But by and large, it's just rocks and mountains of rocks. That's wilderness, no trees. Hardly do you find any water. Just like in the desert, you find an oasis here and there. Wilderness. Every morning he had to trust in God to provide food and water for the people, or else they murmur and complain again. Then they all have their problems, and they all live within the same camp everywhere they went for the next 40 years. Can you imagine? At least we only see each other on Sunday for a couple of hours or so, and then after that we all disperse, and then we have our own lives outside the church. For him, he has nowhere to go. He stays with them. 2 million people's problems were his problems. How do you think he lived with God? For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. That's how he did it. Look at your time on earth the way that God looks at time. Okay? Look at time on earth the way that God looks at time. God says, 1,000 years in my sight are like yesterday, it's gone. And as a watch in the night. At night there are four watches, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., 9 p.m. to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, and then sunrise. And so it's very brief. In other words, look at your life as very brief, and because of its shortness, cherish it. There is no addition. You and I may think that there is addition. Every time when you pray for recovery from sickness, you think that there is an addition. In a way, that God already knows from the moment we are born to the day the Lord returns or the day we die. The Lord alone knows. Okay, and that's why look at your time on earth from God's perspective. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. Okay, your whole life, like a flood, everything just whoosh, gone. You talk to those who are in their 70s and 80s. I'm not yet 70, don't talk to me yet. Talk to those who are 70s and 80s. Was it very long to live 70 years and 10 and more? They would tell you, blink of an eye. You ask. I think the oldest here would be our brother Victor and our sister Ruth. You ask them, okay, afterwards. Was it very, very long? 80 years? Just like that. They remember their childhood. They remember when they had held their two big boys in their arms when they were babies. what they did, where they went. Just like that. Thou carriest them away. God is the one, as a flood. They are as asleep in the morning, and they are like grass which groweth up. Our life. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Just like one day. For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. It's a troubled world. This whole world. God is angry with this world. He has every right to. It's his earth, and we are messing it up. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. He knows all things. Your sins, my sins, inward thoughts, sinful motives, everything he knows. That's why he makes sure that it is a troubled world, not a trouble-free world. It will not be good for every sinner, not be good for us as God's servants, and not be good for the sinners out there who despise him and hate him and bow down to idols. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a story, as a tale that is told. A very short story, not even a long one. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, and yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Which is true. The older you get, the more people you bury, the more vigil service you attend, and you have to keep on working, keep on striving, because this body needs food. As mentioned during the camp, this body is designed by God to need food. You cannot just eat one meal on Monday and don't have to eat the rest of the week. You will die. One person, foolish enough, he tried, and he died within a year or two. The body could not sustain. This body needs constant food intake and outtake, right? That's a healthy body. Outtake, intake, right? And so, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So the key how to live with God, day by day. Day by day. The key is to live day by day. Which was exactly what Jesus taught also in the Sermon on the Mount. Why do you want to worry about tomorrow? Will it extend your stature? Will you be able to do anything if you worry about tomorrow? No, you can't. It's futile and fruitless. It only hurts you. Live day by day, trusting in God. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. You can plan all you want. Please, by all means, plan. But don't put your trust in your planning. And every time you plan, learn from the book of James, as the Lord wills. Right? James made that very clear in chapter 4, verse 13 and 15. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. You plan for this holiday. You plan for this business endeavor, this retirement fund. You don't even know tomorrow. And that's why you have to live day by day. And everything that you plan, everything that you do, always say, God willing. Literally, God willing. If God wills it, otherwise, I know it will not happen. And if God wills it, why do you have to worry? It's going to come to pass. He will take care. That's why live day by day. Do all of us have enough food for today? Breakfast is over. Soon will be lunch and then dinner. Do you have enough in the fridge? More than enough, all of us. You can look at any home, the way that it is designed, with all our pantries, with our beautiful kitchen, with all our refrigerators full of food. So enough food for today for a family of five, more than enough. So if you have enough to feed 5 mouths today, what do you want to worry about food for tomorrow? You assume that there will still be 5 of you tomorrow. You assume that the Lord has not returned today. So it doesn't make sense. Just live today. And the moment you cut your problem size down to one day size, all of us can carry it with God's help. So you don't have to be depressed, you don't have to worry, you don't have to walk around as if you do not know God. Like an orphan, no Heavenly Father to cry to for help. Day by day, and spend the day be a spiritual blessing and a spiritual witness. And when you are able to do that, before you know it, it's one whole week, but you have been a spiritual witness for the Lord. And then a whole month, and then a whole year, but it all begins with one day. That's how you live with God. One day at a time. That's how you overcome a troubled life. One day size trouble, you and I can manage. But my exams is next. Don't worry about your exam next week. Plan, right? How much do you have to study? study. You have 6 days to study. Cut it down. Divide your homework, your school, whatever you need to study to one day science. So study what you need to do, what you need to study, what you need to cover for today. That's it. Study. And trust in the Lord to keep you. Your results, who you're going to be, where you're going to go, the Lord already knows. Our challenge and our joy and privilege is to discover it day by day, step by step. And the Lord will show you. And it is so enjoyable. Isn't that the abundant life the Lord Jesus Christ promised all his disciples? And you will have life, and you have life more abundantly. No longer measured by the abundance of what you possess, but a wonderful, rich, and priceless close walk with your Savior. That's how you overcome trouble. Not that trouble will not be there, but you literally overcome it. Literally overcome it. Trouble about not enough food, or I have enough food. But what about not enough food for 20 years? I don't worry about 20 years. Those voices of men can say whatever they want about inflation, about this and that, and how prices will go through the roof, and all kinds of nonsense. Literally nonsense. So many assumptions that can never, never be ascertained by man. They assume this, assume this and that, and therefore they come to this conclusion. Look at the assumptions, and the assumptions are faulty. Everything that they have concluded falls apart, right? That's the way man's reason. Look at the assumption. You know that it is wishful thinking. But the Word of God, the Almighty, never wishful thinking. God, our Heavenly Father, is telling us, this is what your Papa, Heavenly Father, will do. Do you believe me and trust me? I'm not just telling you the future. I'm telling you that I control the future. And whatever I say is happening, I am the one doing it, bringing it to pass. And if my own children, they don't believe me and listen to me, no one else on earth would. Prophecies are given primarily to God's children. Do you know that? Secondarily to unbelievers, because they don't even accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't believe that God loved them and sent Jesus Christ to die for them. You do. So why would they believe the prophecy? Why would God open their eyes to see the future when they reject him in the present? But you did not reject him, did you? You truly know Christ as Lord and Savior, don't you? Prove it. By life, live day by day in obedience to God's word, in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness, according to Scripture. Study God's word every day. Read it as your spiritual diet, as a spiritual food, just as you eat your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Eat the Bible. Read it every day. Plan a Bible reading program that will delight your soul and help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot grow in grace without the knowledge. You cannot grow in knowledge without the grace. To have knowledge without God's grace means no obedience. It's all in the head, not in the heart. We need both. That's how Moses did it. That's how God's children must do the same throughout the ages. No difference. No difference. And then finally, the third question. Know that it is by God's mercy we don't deserve this life. No matter how troublesome your life might be, know that it could be very, very worse. 10 times worse. Please know that. Mercy means the punishment I deserve God withheld, right? And so Moses, when he looked at his life, it could be 4 million instead of 2. True? It could be far, far worse. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants, because we murmur and complain. The Lord sometimes delay answering us, delay in providing for us, to teach us, to help us. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. The moment you know that everything, every trouble in your life could have been worse, straight away, you become grateful and be thankful for the trouble that you are experiencing right now. It could very well be worse. Jeremiah learned that in the book of Lamentation, when he witnessed with his own eyes, smelled it with his own nose, the destruction of Jerusalem and the burning and destruction of the temple. Can you imagine to watch and witness the Babylonian barbarians to come down and march in and burn and slaughter and did all kinds of awful atrocities to the women and to the children. And Psalm 137 described, they would take the feet of one-year-old, two-year-old Jewish babies and smash their head against the wall and see their head smash open like watermelon. They did that to the babies, and Moses witnessed it. And then he must have smelled all the burning flesh, heard all the screaming and the yelling of Jewish women and babies crying while they were abused. He lived with that, and then he wrote the book of Lamentation. He studied that book, and then he said, it is of the Lord's mercy and compassion that we are not destroyed. In other words, it could have been far, far worse because of the generations of idolatry that the Jews had committed against God. And now it's only that destruction, but 70 years later, there will be the return and there will be the rebuilding. God could very well have wiped the Jews out of the face of the earth whereby they ceased to exist. But God did not. That was his understanding, which is correct. Same here with Moses. It is of the Lord's mercy that you and I must look at your life. It could be many, many times worse. But thank God it did not. The Lord has been merciful and he will continue to show mercy so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days, so that we can manage the trouble for the deepening and the strengthening of our faith. So when you are sick, pray for the strengthening of your faith in the process. When you pray for people who are sick, pray that they are able to see the hand of God in their sickness and the hand of God in their recovery. And when they're able to do that, their faith and their trust in the Lord will be strengthened. All these are trouble and adversities that God sent to drive us closer to him. That has always been God's way. What? All generations. All. Including ours. You have to understand this. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. You see? Thank God for these afflictions and the years wherein we have seen evil. See, thank God. Thank God for each and every trouble. You learn from it, and then it drives you closer to the Lord in the process. And that is priceless. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Keep on serving, keep on doing, keep on persevering. Put your hand on the plow, don't look back. Look forward and keep on trusting, keep on serving, even if you have to do it all alone. Because you know how great an honor and a privilege it is to be blessed by God, to be chosen for salvation. Then you can see and experience how wonderful your Heavenly Father has always been. And he is indeed your dwelling place. You live with him daily. You wake up, you read his word. You commune with him throughout the day, seeing his loving hand. When you stumble and fall, you repent. He's there to lift you up and to hold you up. He's never far away from you. And then you live day by day, literally. Then you can sleep like a baby every night. No need to walk around as if God is dead. Smile and rejoice and enjoy your life. Enjoy your relationship and friendship with one another on a day-to-day basis. Cherish it, because our life is like a story that is told. You think you have many, many years. They are very brief. You look back, just like that, it's all gone. Just like that. All you have are now memories. What Moses wrote, he felt. And what Moses wrote here, for many who are in their 70s and above, you can identify. I'm sure. Continue to live day by day. And whenever you face trouble, remember it is the Lord's mercy. It could have been worse. And because God allowed this to come our way, pray, lean upon the Lord, and it will turn out for your good, spiritual good, helping you to know how real God is and how real your salvation is and how wonderful it is to know that the Lord is holding your hand every step of the way, no matter what. These can only come through troubles. That's how we overcome trouble. It's a troubled world. Don't seek for a trouble-free life, but seek for a trouble-overcoming life. Overcome it by running to the Lord, live day by day, acknowledging his mercies. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, that if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. For we thank thee, Lord, for every trouble that you have sent into our lives, at home, at school, at work, and in church. For we know that these are to drive us closer to thee in ways and means that we would never have done if not for these troubles that you have sent. And we thank thee, Father, for every experience, even though when we failed thee and stumbled because of our weak faith and our faithlessness, we learn repentance. We learn how wonderful it is to truly repent and to return unto thee in fellowship, and how a forgiving God you have always been to me, to us. Help us, O Lord, to be a blessing to one another, to lighten the load when we help to carry each other's trouble, learning together as a family to live with thee and to live day by day and to acknowledge that it's only by your mercies and your compassion that we are not consumed. May we learn to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom as we see the day of the Lord fast approaching. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.